Acts chapter 2. I want to follow up what's not as intense and cumbersome and information-heavy laden sermon as was last week. If you did not get to hear last week, I talked about for such a time as this, jumping off the phrase in the book of Esther where Mordecai said, possibly you were born for such a time as this, and she wins the favor of a king, you know the deal, and saves all the Jewish people from, again, one of those Hamans, Hitlers, Antichrist, whatever they are, they come along to kill God's people. And Esther ends up, in reluctance, embracing her mission. Please remember that about Esther. I was reading it again and noticing Mordecai was sending her messages, and she's like, I can't bother the king. If I go in there wrong, I could get killed. And she's reluctant, like we all struggle with. She's reluctant to embrace her time. And so Mordecai keeps going after her and said, maybe you're born for such a time as this. And then she embraces the cross, really, and the willingness to die, and says, if I die, I die. I'm going to go for this thing. And leads a great liberty, a rescue, as Haman is killed. I believe, and made the case for last week, that we're in the last generation. It's okay if you don't agree. You can read it. I had 8 signs of why I believe that the weather report from the spirit realm is clear that we're in the last generation. Is it my sons and daughters? Is it my grandkids? I don't know. I don't know what year. I'm making no predictions on years. I'm just telling you that I believe that the fig leaf is blooming. Jesus says when you see the fig trees, branches going out and tender and leaving, which is Israel, and they were back in the land, and they have grown as a nation, and they've got Jerusalem back, and they're celebrating multiple things. When you see that in that generation, it's been 2 millenniums on the planet since that happened. You and I have seen that in our day. Our grandparents did. And in this generation, something's happening. And I made the case last week of why I think it's important. Jesus would say, focus on the practical stuff every day. Get the Sermon on the Mount. Do holiness. Take care of your family. He would say that. But he would also say, don't be ignorant of the times. You must know the times you're living in. He said to that generation, you're missing the day of your visitation because you're so hard-hearted. And it is possible for individuals and for groups of people to miss the day of their visitation. I don't mean just another revival. I mean the great global revival of revivals that is the return of Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart. I really do. And you know what? I'm not going to base unity on this with anybody. You don't believe this, me and you about Jesus, that's our unity. But I believe with all of my heart that we're in the last generation, that it's ticking. The time's ticking. The sun is setting on this age. And all the signs point to it. And I think it's negligent for a people not to be spiritually and physically ready for such a day. Because the Bible's very clear and has a ton of information about what's about to come down the pike. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I wouldn't do this if I didn't really believe it, because I think I'll be judged for every sentence I say in a pulpit one day. I'm telling you with all of my heart, I believe you live in the greatest generation that's ever been on planet Earth since Jesus Christ. I think you live in the most unique time on planet Earth since the time of Jesus and the time of Noah, really, where a great global flood happened. And a great global flood is coming. It's not a flood of water. It's a flood of evil. It's a flood of fire. And the Bible's very clear about it. It says a fifth of your Bible is about this information. It's about the change of the age. An age that we all want to change. As the veil of death and sin is taken off the nations. You're in that day, I think. And in this day, I think it's vital that we be a prophetic people. And if that's a new word to you, I want to polish it off. We've used it in various forms. It largely has been used in the charismatic streams, prophetic. It's becoming much more normal in the evangelical streams, and that so encourages me. I hear evangelical mainline preachers, when I get a chance to listen, using this word. It's a glorious word. It's the word that should typify who we are as the body of Christ, and we are negligent if we don't pay attention to it. So let me read the Bible verse for you. In Acts chapter 2, at the birthday of the church, Peter quotes Joel the prophet and says, this is what's happening. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall, you see the word, not love, though we're to love, not peace, though we're to peace, not serve, though we're to serve. Your sons and daughters shall do this thing called prophesy. And your young men will see visions. That's what's going to happen. And your old men are going to dream dreams. There's going to be an outbreak of dreams and visions. Even on my male servants and female servants. In those days, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my spirit. Not on one guy, Moses. Not on one guy, David. I'm going to pour it out globally on my church. And they're going to do something. What does it say, everybody? Prophesy. They're going to prophesy. It's the quintessential describing mark of the body of Christ, that God is raising up a royal priesthood that are a family and a community of prophets. We love this. We've tried to mature in it. We've made some mistakes in it. We're trying to adjust in it. But I felt with all of my heart, in this day especially, that I needed to clearly proclaim and call you to all of your prophetic ministries. And it's everybody in the room. Now let me make this statement. Romans chapter 12 will mention seven grace gifts that not everybody has. There's different gifts for different ones in the body. One of them is prophesying. Jonathan has a gift of prophesying. Dick has a gift of prophesying, a cluster. They didn't earn it. It just got given to them. It's the way they think. It's the way they see. And things just manifest to them. Praise the Lord. I don't, but I still am called to prophesy. Everybody in the room, if you're a mercy person, teacher person, encourager, everybody is to prophesy because the Bible says that. The Bible says that we all are to prophesy, and it clearly says that. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul will say, pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Listen, don't just put up with the spiritual gifts. Do you see it there? Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. There's no hesitation here. No, we got to go for it. Even if you've seen people abuse them and you didn't like what went on, the Bible's clear that we're to go for it and not just put up with them. We're to earnestly desire them, especially to prophesy. It's kind of like him saying, earnestly desire to drive all colors of car, okay, but especially the red ones. You know, go after the red ones. That's really what he did right here, is go after all the gifts, long for them, but especially to prophesy. Amos 3:7 said, for the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that was, in that day, Amos and Micah and Joel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, but not this day. This day, it's everybody in the body of Christ. Everyone in the body of Christ now has the Spirit of God and has the living Christ within them. What a glorious day we live in. You are called to a prophetic ministry. You are called to prophesy. Now, let me remind you of what this simple word means, this wonderful word from God by the Holy Spirit. Prophesying is the process of discerning the mind of God and then proclaiming it. That's simply what it is. Prophetēu is to discern the mind of God and then say the mind of God. Yes, about the past, but mostly about the present. Yes, about the future, listen, but mostly about the now. It's speaking the now mind of God, and it's just powerful. God created everything by the word. It says that in Hebrews 1, 11. He created everything by his powerful word. He's sustaining everything by his word. And it is we who are now his vessels of his word into the earth. Words are the most powerful thing on planet earth. And the Lord has called us to be prophetic. To be prophetic is to be normal for the church. To be prophetic, to be a prophetic people, is to be just normality. Warfare has made it abnormal in an unspiritual church largely run by cerebral religious systems. When we reduce Christianity down to systems and doctrines and disconnected thoughts, not that there's not doctrine, not that there's not system. That's not my point. My point is when we do that, it has a tendency to get up in the cerebral realm for us and become a religious system that we run through the motions. To be a prophetic people is to be a people filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. is to be a people filled with the living Spirit of God, knowing what He's saying now, and discerning that, obeying that, and proclaiming that. Listen, I don't know how you're a Christian parent unless you're prophetic about your children. I've been in the process of training my children toward Jesus, but my raising them has been around specific discernment of what their call is and watching them battle with an enemy about that call. I don't know it all, but when I look at Samuel, and now I'm picking up, I mean, all the way down, I'm looking at Glory right now. She's 10 years old, and we're ministering to her about what her gifting is. It's incredible who Glory is in Jesus and her gifting and the way she's designed. And so we're trying to say that into her. That's prophetic parenting. I'm discerning what God's will is for this child with this name, Glory, and trying to get them in agreement with God's will. Does that make sense? It's vital. I wish our parents, you know, we gotta teach how to do this for parents, to call them out by name, to train them in the basics of life and doctrine and Jesus, but then to catch on to what they're specifically called to. Parents, I just want to say something to you. Your children are under specific warfare, not just general. There is specific warfare to rip off their destiny. The enemy does not want them fulfilling the will of God for their lives. And you need to know so you can come alongside them and you can begin to, you know, be with them and labor for them what their destiny is. I wish I had done it better. I wish I could go back. I was thinking about Samuel and Stephen and Jess, and I just love what those boys are turning into, but I wish I'd been better at it. I knew a little bit, but I had to learn it on the job training. You know what I mean? So here I am with my young ones, and I'm like, Josh and Pate, come here. You know, I got my 3-year-old and 5-year-old, 10-year-old, and Mercy, and I'm going to lock in on this. Grace is full flowering into catching her vision and her call, and I want to get them along that way. So we want to be a prophetic people as we raise our families, and we discern how we make decisions of where we live and what we do. You've got to be discerning what God's saying to your family, because you're disciples. You're not just human beings who live in America and need to go leverage and make money so you can live your dream and build your house. We're disciples. We do what He says. I'm painting that old peeling brown house on First and Emporia, getting it ready, but I don't know if we get to still live there when I get done. It's starting to look fairly good. I'm cleaning the storm windows. I'm doing my deal. I know, John, you don't believe me. Come over. I'm doing it. I really am. But I'm doing this thing, but I'm knowing I don't get to sit down and go, I want to live in the country. I want to live here. I want to live there. For me, anyway. I got to go. Lord, what's the deal? Where you want? Where? I got kids. My kids now, we've done this enough around them, where they'll get in my face and go, do we need to live in this house? Is this house too nice? Should we? You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, back off. I want to be the challenger, not you. And so, but I love that because they're thinking along that line, and it takes a prophetic people to discern the call of God. So it is God's will that His people are prophetic catalysts on planet Earth. I mean, we say words, we say gospel, and we're catalytic. We start things because we're speaking the words of God. That's all that is speaking God's word. We stimulate and manifest God's will and reality as living agents of His words. What a call on our lives. That we stimulate and manifest God's will and reality through this thing of being agents in His world. So, a prophetic people have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear so they can align their lives and words with God's right now will. Okay? It's really another way. Jesus' most used phrase is, for him who has ears to hear. A prophetic people are people who have ears to hear. And they have eyes to see. They're not just weird people who get visions all the time and act odd. You know what I mean? There's that happens, and it's actually kind of cool if you get faith for it. But you don't look at some prophetic package and think, that's what the prophetic is. You're what the prophetic is. It's you hearing God and then responding to it with your life and with your words. And so that's what the Lord has called us to do. So I want to lay out just a couple things here before I pray over you about five dimensions of prophetic prophesying that I think happens in our lives. Number one is prayer prophesying. Please hear these and then do what you want with them. Prayer prophesying. We're supposed to be prophesiers while we pray. And what I mean by that is there's all kinds of prayer. Supplication. God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. God, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. Help me. Help me. Help me. God, would you please come? Would you please come and save people in El Dorado? I'm just asking that you would please come. I'm not making fun of that. Do that where you have grace to do it. But there's something that can happen in your heart where God speaks and you begin to pray a little differently as you know the will of God and you start to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let souls be saved in El Dorado. Father, in the name of Jesus, let a spirit of conviction blow over this city like a wind. I'm claiming souls for the glory of your kingdom. I pray that they come and they would manifest. There's a difference between would you please to I know your will and I'm activating it. Listen, do the would you please. Go ahead and ask and do that. But when you get confidence, I'm encouraging you all to experiment with some authoritative prayer. Prayer that stops storms when you're in boats and your disciples are about to drown. Prayers that break the power of demonic things when Legion is obsessed on a guy, you know? When he met that guy who had a legion of demons. Prayers of authority. Jesus operated in this thing. And I think that we need more of this. We pray and we prophesy and we begin to, I don't mean it as a charismatic name it, claim it, but I mean a confidence that's in me that commands and calls for the power of God. I really think I know the will of God over my children, what God wants to do. And I don't think I have to, in fear shaking, hope that God wants to do them good. I don't have to hope about that. I need to, by authority, you know, pray that over them and do that. And I've been able to do that some and seen some awesome results, and I feel like I lose it. I feel like my confidence goes, and I'm back to being the slave beggar again, you know. And I'm, please, and instead of, you know, knowing his will and praying his word. And so we pray, prophesy. Number two, we gospel prophesy. This is just telling the gospel. I hope you know the gospel. Hope you're clear about the gospel. The ultimate prophetic message to planet Earth is Jesus. Jesus is the prophetic word. When you say Jesus to someone and give them an accurate picture of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, you've just prophesied the greatest message to planet Earth. So there's gospel prophesying, telling the mind of God. Number three, there's fellowship prophesying. This is one that we have just become aware of, how Jonathan and I were just sharing about how important this is, and we forget sometimes. That's why we're having missionaries come here a little bit to kind of train them when this issue of fellowship prophesying, where you're in spiritual relationship with people and you're doing more than just having cake and coffee, or maybe even more than just discussing a Bible verse, which do that. Discuss a Bible verse. But there's something about when you get with the people and you pray and you begin to, well, I'll just tell you, we had a brother here who teaches in a Christian school. He had 10 kids. Can I say this? I think I can say this. Anyway, Spencer was here. He's got 10 Christian kids that he's mentor over. Asked them, all 10, have you ever been in a prayer meeting where people were praying the word by the Spirit and flowing in that? Only one of them barely knew what he was talking about. The other 9 were like, we have no idea what you're talking about. Of where you're praying with people and having spiritual fellowship by the word of the Lord, where we're speaking to one another prophetically. Where I'm encouraging Mark, I'm encouraging Doug, not only along the line of general encouragement, but as I meet with Doug and pray with Doug, then I have something in my heart to speak to him personally. Not everybody in this room has experienced that. I encourage you to be part of that. It's a wonderful thing. It's not predicting, oh, you're going to be a millionaire and have, you know, have a wife. And I don't mean that stuff. I mean the mind of God about a situation, what he's thinking about a person in that moment. It's amazing the faith that builds in somebody when you have spiritual fellowship. It's awesome. You can have a Bible study and not have spiritual fellowship. You really can. And I just want to encourage you to this activity of listening to the Spirit, encouraging each other. And we're, in just a moment, I want to model that real quick. But let me number four, national prophesying. This is speaking to nations and national leaders about prophesying. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but keep your ear open for what Franklin Graham is doing right now. Franklin Graham has been given a voice to our nation and presidents and people, and he's speaking the truth. And he's taken serious heat for it. Some people are raised up for that. And what he's doing is prophesying the truth. He's prophesying to America about its compromise and what the Lord's timing is going to be. Number five, then, is end time prophesying, which are words about the end times and what we're to do, as we talked about last week. Getting prepared, getting your heart prepared, whatever it be, okay? These signs that happen. And those are important things. I just want to spend more time on another. Let me give you this last verse, and then I want to just do something for a couple minutes. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. Look right here. It's your Bible verse. It's not outdated. My brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. It would be illegal for us to forbid the speaking of tongues. We would not do it, because it's a Bible passage. And we're to desire. Normal, new life, disciple life is that you be desiring to prophesy. And prophesying is what, again, let me say, I've got to say it again, because that word's so maligned. It's literally just simply, a child can do it, an adult, it's discerning the mind of God and the thought of God in a situation and speaking it forth and obeying it and responding. That's prophesying, okay? Everyone in this room can do that. Everyone in this room needs to learn how to do that by being led by the Spirit. I wish I could take every one of you and do three or four of you at a time and we could just kind of work on that together. But it's an amazing thing when you begin to hear the Holy Spirit and speak to people by the Spirit.